Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Gamer Heroes. I'm Derek, I got my co-host John with me.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome back.
Good to be back.
We've got some news to tackle before we jump into our main topic, which are our top three guilty pleasure video games, which I'm really excited to talk about what those are. But before we get to that, we'll talk some news. First off, let's talk a bit about Microsoft. There's been some talks about what's going to happen with the Microsoft Xbox One X, formerly known as the Scorpio. Basically, there's already developers who are running into performance issues on the X.
What? I can't believe that.
I'll give everyone a moment to collect themselves. 8 teraflops was not enough.
Wait, hold on. It's all about the teraflops. Who cares about anything else? Teraflops, right?
It's all about the teraflops.
Think about that word for a second. That is a really strange word.
It's a hardware thing.
It's not a word that you really use very often.
It's not a consumer word, I will say that.
Exactly, which is why it's kind of weird. So, you're selling me a Corvette, but I'm buying a Malibu, is what I hear.
I don't think it's that bad. But we did run into some news from Tripwire Interactive. They're the developers behind The Killing Floor 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw that. I saw that pop up on Steam, and I was actually really interested in it. Looks really fun. It's literally a game where you play different puzzles and try to survive.
Right.
It's a really fun game. So
it seems like a really cool idea. You might want to play it on PC, though, it looks like. So they have announced that while developing for the Xbox One X has been, quote, a very smooth and easy, unquote, process, they can't seem to run it in 4K without frame rate issues. So the big thing that was talked about was that this is going to be the first pure 4K gaming system. They're going to have to compromise the 60 frames per second on certain titles like, you know, Destiny 2, for example, where people will be playing on non-Xs and non-PS4 Pros and things like that.
Okay, so that's one instance, but we can't have 4K.
But we already knew, well, that those are 4K, but they're 30 frames per second. In this case, they can't hit 4K.
That's right.
At a consistent frame rate. So that's interesting. Now they don't give us any actual numbers about the frame rates. They just say, quote, the frame rate drop was a bit too significant.
Yeah. I imagine that's, it probably went very close to 30.
That sounds like it went under 30, because if games like Destiny 2 are going to play at 30 already,
they're probably not consistently holding that 30 though. I feel like most video games, on a console at least, you bounce 28, 25, 30, 32, 38. You know what I mean? They kind of just go all over the place.
Well, the rumor is that they're just going to lock games like Destiny 2 at 30 for the X and the PS4 Pro, so that way those players don't have an advantage over the other platforms. But in this case, these guys are saying that they're going to have to produce Killing Floor 2 at 1080p for the X.
Just to keep a frame rate. Yeah.
Now, that leads me to believe that it's lower than 30 frames per second.
That's unacceptable.
So I think that's really interesting, because the big push here was that it's going to be all 4K stuff. And now one of the early games announced for the X is not going to be 4K. So, John, how does that make you feel?
This doesn't surprise me, because I am expecting more games like Call of Duty and Battlefront, games that are graphically heavy, to suffer more on the frames per second. Because, as you know, from the PC world, you have to give up something. And I used to be a hardcore, like, I need to have 60 frames per second, nothing less. I'm willing to, you know what I mean, or higher, 75 hertz on my monitor maxes out at 75 hertz. I need 75 frames per second. And I was willing to go down in graphically and resolution, I mean.
Yeah.
And after I let go of that, I learned to enjoy games again. So guys, again, frames per second is important, but the reason this is disappointing is because that's all they're saying is first system, best system. Like, these are all these subliminal messages. We're going to be the first. We're going to be the only.
I mean, consistent frame rates are important. You don't want frame rates that vary too much because that'll create a stuttering experience for people. But the big thing here is that the selling point for the X over the Xbox One S or the PS4 and the PS4 Pro is that this was the first pure 4K gaming system. And there's already a game here that's saying that it won't run in 4K. Now, to be fair, let's be totally fair here. It's not going to run in 4K on the PS4 Pro either, but the PS4 Pro seems to be more of a quieter marketing plan. You know, it hasn't been all in your face about this type of stuff, while Microsoft has been very much 4K HDR gaming. And when a game comes out and says, or a developer comes out and says, our game's not going to hit 4K, and we're still months out from the release of this thing, what's going to happen a year from now? Right? Or a year and a half from now, where this console's now a year old and developers have year newer technology, right? Because you're talking about your PC and, you know, how you handle PC gaming, but you can swap out parts on a PC.
I could easily upgrade it.
Right? PCs upgrade much easier. I don't want to have to buy a new console every 12 months.
I expect to see more of this. Like, I honestly, the Destiny thing, it's a convenient excuse, but I honestly don't think it can handle it. Truly.
Well, I think what's interesting is that even with these incremental upgrades, we're going to get, you know, slightly more powerful, more efficient consoles every year almost.
Yeah.
These bigger games, let's put the Killing Floor aside for a moment, the bigger games like Destiny and Call of Duty and Halo, where they have big multiplayer experiences, they can't segregate the Xbox One S players from the X players.
Right.
So they're going to have to compromise. So the question is, which games are going to come out that are really going to take advantage of what the X is supposed to be able to do? Is it only going to be a handful of single-player games? Because does that justify, then, the price point of everybody like me who has an Xbox already? Why would I upgrade? It's the same reason I still have my PS4. Why would I get the Pro if I'm not going VR and the Xbox isn't doing VR? So there's no real advantage.
Unless you just want to play your single-player game, your campaign in higher resolution, you know?
And that
increases the, you know, that increases your experience. But in the end of the day, most people nowadays at least play video games to play online. So you're really narrowing the market down to, like,
very specific
games.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have a few type of places you can hit, niches, that is.
Now, if you're still out there and you really want an Xbox One X, you will have a chance to win one.
Okay.
So, with a tie-in promotion with Taco Bell, which I thought was kind of an interesting little tie-in. Of course, a lot of gamers like myself like Taco Bell and the Doritos Locos tacos and all that.
The chalupas. They have a new type of chalupa out. I'll take it.
But starting at the end of August, August 31st, there is going to be a contest. If you buy the Steak Quesarito $5 box, you will get a unique code, and that code will give you an opportunity to win an Xbox One X. They say that there's going to be a winner like every 10 minutes or so, whatever, you know, that means, like, things like that. You'll get a chance to get an Xbox One X, as well as, the new Forza game, and you'll get, like, Xbox Live Gold for a few months.
So it's kind of interesting because last time, Taco Bell endorsed PlayStation, they were giving away a free PS4. And this time around, Xbox has snagged Taco Bell or vice versa.
So if you go back far enough, all the way to the original Xbox, the first one, the first Xbox.
Yeah, yeah.
Xbox OG.
The actual box.
That had a Taco Bell promotion.
It's interesting, though.
So they kind of do their back and forth a little bit.
They do.
But that'll be your chance. You'll have an opportunity to go eat some fast food and maybe win an Xbox One X. Now, I will say, if I was handed one for free, I would totally use it, and I would trade in my S.
Sure. You're just not going to catch me spending $500-$600 on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just, I'm not going to upgrade. That's the real key.
I don't even own an Xbox, guys. I'm a PlayStation guy
for many
years now.
Yeah.
So, it's not that I hate Xbox players. It's just that I just chose a superior machine. Like, it's just how that goes.
Depends what you want to play. Like, I've got them both, right? So I play them both. I think the Xbox is a much better media entertainment console. And if you want to be able to play titles like Gears of War and Halo and Forza, you're going to have to get your Xbox. And if you want to be able to play games like The Last of Us, obviously you need a PlayStation.
Yeah.
For anything that's cross-platform, I do prefer to play it on my PlayStation, though the Switch is quickly becoming my number one console for that type of stuff.
We actually have some news about cross-platform. What do you want to talk about cross-platform?
Well, Minecraft, which we haven't talked about in a little while, is entering its cross-play beta, which starts just with Windows, PC, and Android. It will come to consoles later. But this is the initial beta for the crossplay. So if you play on PC and Android, you will now have an opportunity to hop into that beta and play with each other, which will be a
non-sexually
positive experience.
I mean, we want to play.
Well, it is Minecraft, yeah. and the other platforms will come later, not PlayStation. Because Sony has their weird. Sony's being really weird about this.
The Minecraft thing is really weird. Like,
well, it's Rocket
Sony.
League too. Sony's basically saying that they want to protect their players.
I don't understand it personally, but
I'm of the opinion. Like, if you go back, Nintendo has always played it safe when it comes to content. The first mature rated video game released on the Wii was Mad World, if anybody remembers.
I remember. That was actually a really good game.
It was a cool game, right?
Black and white game. The only thing that was red was, or the only thing that had color was blood.
Right.
Very cool game.
But all of Nintendo's games are below mature, really, for the most part. I mean, this new Super Mario Odyssey is the first E10 plus Mario game that's a mainstream Mario game ever.
I wonder why.
So, the violence is more realistic. You got the T-Rex and things like that. There's more adventure involved. It's
running people over in cars in New York, probably.
So you're taking over people's bodies.
Doing some weird
like
stuff.
but anyway, so crossplay is coming. Sony's being weird about it. Their opinion is that they want to protect their player base. Now, if Nintendo thinks it's okay, then it's probably fine. Because they're going to protect their younger player base more than the other platforms will.
In my opinion, it's clearly we're not going to give it to you. You can't have it, which somehow makes people want it more. So it's a weird thing they're doing.
Sony's been pushing a lot for this, for like exclusive DLC and timed exclusive content and pre-order bonuses that are just for PlayStation and things of that nature. And, you know, as a gamer, I fucking hate that shit. I really do. I want the same game. I want to be able to buy the game and play it. And if it's going to be released on Xbox and PlayStation, I don't want there to be an actual difference in content.
I disagree with you.
I'm going to give you a chance to answer, but here's what it makes me think. It makes me think that Sony doesn't actually think they can beat Microsoft in a straight fight. Because it sounds like to me that if Destiny 2 releases the same on both, they're worried too many people will buy it on Xbox. That's what that tells me. So they need exclusive DLC to get players to buy it on PlayStation. And what that tells me is that they don't have confidence in what they're actually producing. So you tell me why exclusive content is a good thing.
My only argument to that is that PlayStation has clearly dominated the sales, and whether you call that a tactic or not, it is working. More people are buying.
That does not make it okay.
It doesn't make it okay, but what I'm saying though is whether it's ethical in your opinion or not, it's working, and I don't think PlayStation they're outright beating Xbox as we speak in console.
Okay, so you're just walking around.
I'm going to get to the point here.
Because right now it sounds like the ends justify the means. It's okay because it works.
I mean, no, okay. So what I'm saying, though, is like Sony has done the work. Sony has already, you know what I mean? They've already gotten me as a gamer.
Okay.
So all you're doing is giving me, someone who already buys Sony games, mm-hmm. More incentive. It's like a reward to me. So,
but why should it be a punishment to an Xbox player?
It's not a punishment.
Sure it is.
It's rewarding your people. It's rewarding your fans. Like, I look at it as a positive, that's not like so saying, much of a negative.
That's like saying that, so, okay, you need to buy a new car, and you've decided you're
so
going
Xbox
to buy...
Xbox doesn't do the same thing and has... I'm sure they'll have their own Destiny content. GameStop does that with Target and Best Buy, where they get exclusive.
So I don't like that stuff either, but you can't... Comparing retailers to manufacturers is a little muddying the waters a bit. So I don't like when they do it either. I hate any type of exclusive content like that. If you're going to release a game multi-platform, then it should be the same on every platform. If you choose to develop just for specific platforms, as a developer, you have every right to do that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When you're when there's content specifically for PlayStation or for GameStop, that is not the developer making that decision. That's the manufacturer of the console or the retailer paying for special content. So that way, those players get an advantage that other players don't get. So I think
not really an advantage. It's not like they get a special gun. What they get is like, you get a Crash Bandicoot skin.
No, you're talking about pre-order DLC, pre-order content. I'm talking
about...
But
the content they actually get for these games on a console is maybe a different map that's a PlayStation game or something.
Sometimes it's missions. It's entire missions.
So
look, where's the line? How much is too much then for it to be unfair?
I consider it a reward. You consider it that's my point, punishment.
Because, well, see, I have both platforms. So technically it never impacts me.
You get
me,
either one. Yeah.
Right? So I'm trying to play this from the center of the field here, where it's you have decided to release a game that is on Xbox and PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a legitimate reason why it is fair to the player base that one should get a mission pack that the other one doesn't get.
You know what? I am going to think on that, and I will have an answer next podcast. Guys, all right. I want to hear your opinion, actually. So I'm going to go to the fans, the listeners.
Okay.
Why don't you guys chime in and drop us a comment, whether on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere. Just let us know what your thoughts are on exclusive DLC per console. Should we say? Not pre-order, console.
I mean, you can talk pre-order, too. Hit us up at Heroes Podcasts. That's our handle everywhere, heroespodcasts.com. You can shoot us an email at contact@heroespodcasts.com as well. There's been pre-order DLC exclusive stuff for years. I mean, Star Trek Online, which is the MMO that I play, came out 10 years ago almost, and basically 10 years ago. And it had exclusive retailer exclusive DLC from like 8 different places. And it was very frustrating. And, eventually over time that stuff all became available to purchase in game. But it bothered me that, you would now have to spend extra money to get that kind of stuff. And this type of stuff is no different. Like Crash Bandicoot Trilogy is a really good example. It's a PS4 exclusive. It's a timed exclusive. Eventually it will go to other platforms.
It was their game to begin with.
That's not the point. The point is, when you make it a timed exclusive, what you're saying is you're pushing people, the bulk of the fan base, to buy it on this one platform. Sony has paid the publisher money to hold it off of other platforms. And in my opinion, that's dirty. It's controlling supply in a way that is not legitimate.
I disagree. Sony.
What
had
if
that
you went?
Game.
What if you went to the movies? You went to go see a movie, and at
Xbox
AMC,
does the same thing.
But they don't do it anywhere near as much as Sony does.
They did that for the Tomb Raider game. They just did that for the newest Tomb Raider game.
What did they do?
PlayStation still doesn't even have the second Tomb Raider game. The re-release of Tomb Raider.
The entire game.
That's different. We still don't even have it.
But Microsoft doesn't have The Last of Us. Lots of games are platform specific. I'm not talking about.
But it's
time
because it's eventually coming to PlayStation, and it's been like a year.
Okay, so Sony's been doing it since the PS4 launched, is my point. Sony's been doing it much more than Microsoft has.
Okay, but you're telling me a timed exclusive for a few months versus years on a game.
There's no time. I don't know when Crash Bandicoot will be available on other platforms. It's just an example. But
I imagine they own somewhat the rights.
But here,
okay, game.
So by your own logic, though, if it was working really well for Sony and Sony's in the lead, then doesn't Microsoft have a right to play by the same dirty rules?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Okay. What I'm saying, though, is they're not above that.
But, it's not that they're above it or not above it. It's that now they don't have a choice. Right? Look at it from a movie perspective, just for a second, right?
Yeah, you want to go
see Avengers Infinity War.
And oh, I know where you're going.
AMC has 7 extra minutes of footage. And Cinemark doesn't get that. Or Alamo Drafthouse doesn't get that. Which theater are you going to go see the movie in?
Clearly you're going to go to AMC. But that is just a clever marketing scheme.
But it can also be borderline illegal supply-demand control. So
it's like sweetening up the deal for anything. It's not... We can argue about
this
dirty. All day.
It's a dirty business practice that I don't support.
I think it's more dirty to be like, we're gonna give you 75% of the game, and you need to purchase the other 25%.
Well,
that's way more dirty.
That's a developer thing. That's separate.
they play the games, too.
Let's move on to our main topic, because we've been talking news for a while. So
we've been arguing.
our main topic is top 3 guilty pleasure video games. And I even pulled some guys at work to get some examples of what some other people might have thought. So I'll bring those up as we go.
Now I feel stupid. Mine are basic.
What do you mean?
Okay, hold on. I'm going to add one to the game that you...
All right, well, I'm going to go first. So my first guilty pleasure game is Blitz 2000 for the Nintendo 64.
Yes! That's not a guilty pleasure.
How is it not a guilty pleasure?
I love that game.
It's a terrible game.
No, it's not.
That is nothing like the real sport at all.
That's why it's fun.
It's a joke. It's a parody of the sport. You know, you can get the giant heads, and you can become on fire and clothesline people and pile drive them after the play. And
yeah.
There's all these little quirks about it. Like, if you flicked up the joystick twice, you could hide your cursor so the other people playing with you couldn't see what play you were picking, which was cool. It had a glitch in it that I always really appreciated. So I'm from Philly, so I almost always played as the Eagles. And if you ran as the quarterback, if you ran on a play, it didn't actually say the name of the quarterback who was on the roster. They would say McNabb's name. Because he was the rookie and hadn't started yet officially.
Yeah.
But he ended up starting later in the season. And so, the audio would say, McNabb, because he always would roll out and run. And I just thought that was hilarious because the number was a different guy.
He's like white.
He's a white dude. Yeah, he totally is.
You're like, McNabb's clearly black.
Yeah, it's totally white dude. So, I mean, Super 5 was a big, big guy for me. So that was always fun. I loved it that you could put in different cheat codes.
I loved it too.
You got the free extra point. You didn't even have to try and kick it.
That was, to me, it was what I wish Madden was because...
Really?
Yeah, because Madden is great, but it really gets boring really fast to me at least.
Okay.
And that kind of stuff, the quirky, weird stuff, really adds, it makes it fun. Like,
okay.
That's why, like, any Mario sport game is way more fun than, like, the real thing. You know I'm talking...
That's just an interesting point. I think for me, like, for, like, legit football games, the 2K games...
Yeah, 2K has always been really solid.
Those were really great.
The ESPN ones were really good, too.
Yeah. The Madden ones were always kind of on the bottom of my list, to be honest.
Which is funny, because it's the most commercialized.
Well, they bought all the rights. They have exclusive rights now. So.
Well, now they do, but... Yeah. Well, no, I guess the NBA... 2Ks are still dominating NBA.
I meant NFL. Just for football. Just for American football, EA bought exclusive rights to the NFL years ago.
Is that not dirty?
So, I had a huge problem with that. I was furious. Dude, I was so
pissed. That's market control.
No, I was really pissed about that.
That is like saying, well, we're the only... That's a monopoly. That's borderline monopolizing it.
They put out a Blitz game around that time after that happened, and all the players were generic. Like, they couldn't have real names and stuff like that. Yeah, that was kind of around the time that the NCAA players sued because they were making money off of their likenesses and that kind of stuff. But no, that really, I hated it because I played the other games more than the Madden games.
Right.
I mean, I usually had, I would alternate year to year, to be honest, because I liked playing the football games, at least I used to. I'm not buying the one with Tom Brady on the cover, so it's not going to happen.
All three of them? He's been on it a lot.
Well, I don't own any of the ones he's ever been on, but I'm certainly not buying this one, because I'm done. I'm done with that. So let's move on. What is your number 3
My bottom one?
Yeah.
So I have a thing for... It's funny because I was talking about sports games. I have a thing for, like, terrible sports games. So, like, NBA Street. Like, I don't know why. I just really liked NBA Street.
Okay.
It's the one where you can, like, jump really high and do a slam dunk on somebody as Jordan. Or you can be, like, you know, like...
Well, that's, like, the new one that just came out on Switch, right?
No, that one is, like, a parody of the old ones. Okay. They actually had... 3 NBA Street games total, and the one that I'm thinking of particularly was on PlayStation 2.
Okay.
Or Xbox. Yep. And I just love it, because it's a 3-on-3. Basically, you can do 4 players sometimes, but it's 3-on-3, just a full court, and it's you just... You can go nuts and do these crazy dribbles, and you can build up this meter where you can... I don't know, do crazy tricks, like throw it really high in the air, catch it, and when you won the game, the rim would explode with fireworks.
Nice, I like that.
That was, those were...
That's very Blitz-esque.
Really fun. Know? Like, yeah. They were just, there's the type of NBA game, you're like, well, it's not serious, you know, we're here to have fun.
Right.
And you can play as the legend, you can play Michael Jordan, you can play as Larry Bird.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was a lot of fun, because... And they had different stats. So, like, Larry Bird can pretty much shoot anywhere on the court. No, seriously. I've shot across the court, on the other side of the court, other rim, and he swishes.
Nice.
So if he gets his meter up all the way...
What platform did you play that on?
Oh, PlayStation. PlayStation 2. Yeah. I also played it on my 360 when they re-released it. Yeah, they actually had a Streets 2, NBA Street 2, and that, I believe they had a third.
I wonder if that's available for the Xbox One compatibility.
You never know.
It might be out
you
there.
You might look at it. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, that would be my third on the bottom of my list here.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's a good one. I like that. Some of my friends at work were talking about Pokemon Go
as a
guilty pleasure game. And he really described it as a guilty pleasure game because he doesn't want people to know that he's walking around playing it. So he'll kind of try and hide that he's doing it. But he loves it, like, and so the other guys were talking about, like, they would go to this one restaurant downtown that they didn't like, but it was next to a bunch of stops and a gym, and so they would go so they could play over lunch. Pokemon Go is definitely a guilty pleasure game, if that's
I could definitely your perspective see that. On it. Oh, I can definitely see that.
So that was a good one. So my number two, then, if we're moving on to number two, is Super Mario Brothers 2.
I knew you were going to say that for some reason.
Which...
that's the one nobody liked.
It's a weird freaking game, dude. So, Super Mario Brothers 2 is the one with, like, the turnips and the shy guys and the...
Hey, those guys are in everything now.
They came out... Yeah, they were integrated later.
That's what I'm saying.
But I have a fascination with Super Mario Brothers 2. I always thought it was a really weird game when I would play it on Mario All-Stars, because I didn't have it on NES originally. I got it on the Super Nintendo All-Stars. And I thought it was just so strange. And it turns out, for those who don't know, that Super Mario Bros. 2, outside of Japan, it's actually a reskin of a game called Doki Doki Panic, which is why Super Mario Bros. 2, up through like Mario 64, you know, that was kind of the end point, it doesn't fit any of the Mario universe. You don't see the Goombas. You don't see the Koopas. The power-ups aren't there. You have, like, heart life, and there's no clock. And the game is just totally, totally different. Completely different enemies. All that kind of stuff. And you could select your character, which you, again, couldn't do for quite some time in a Mario game. A couple of decades, really. And you could play as 4 characters. You could be Mario, Luigi, Toad, or Princess Peach, and you all had different abilities.
Sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds way better.
It's just a weird game, though. So, like, you know, Mario is, like, kind of your all-around kind of guy, right? And Luigi could jump really high, and Princess Peach could float a little bit because of her dress. And I just was always really fascinated with that story that it wasn't really Mario Brothers 2. Super Mario Brothers 2 is what we know as the Lost Levels, which was also released in the Super Mario Brothers All-Stars on the Super Nintendo. And the Lost Levels was going to be released as Super Mario Brothers 2, but Nintendo was worried that specifically the North America audience would think it was too similar to the first game and wouldn't buy it. So they only released that in Japan, and they came up with this reskin.
That's terrible.
New music, new graphics. They sped up certain animations and things like that.
Yeah.
The game was more brought into the fold during the later years on the Game Boy Advance. There was a remake, essentially, of Super Mario Bros. 2 for the Game Boy Advance that changed a ton of stuff, really made it really solid. I still prefer the original version of it, but I definitely understand the appeal of the remake. So that's... I love playing it. You got the birdies, and you got, you know, they shoot those bubbles that you have to jump on top of and grab and throw, and the whole time Mario is dreaming, it turns out, at the end of the game.
Oh no!
If you beat the game,
they
and the whole thing's a dream.
Those.
Well, because it doesn't make any sense, because it's this weird universe. It doesn't match anything else. You know, there's no firepower, and you have a heart life bar, and the clock that is non-existent. There's weird stuff about it. But the end of the game, when you're fighting the big bad guy, you have to take basically vegetables, and throw them in his mouth while he's shooting what they call dream bubbles at you that hurt you. And if you win, then Mario wakes up in his bed really confused.
So if you were high, that would be an amazing game.
I mean, I've legitimately never played that game high or drunk. I will say that I did beat Super Mario World completely wasted. In one sitting. So I did 3 levels with my eyes closed.
That's very impressive.
That was my big game. But yeah, so Super Mario Bros. 2 is my number 2
mm-hmm.
on my list of guilty pleasure video games.
Nice.
If you haven't played it, I know it's weird, but give it a try.
I want to try it because it sounds so weird.
Give it a shot. There's you know, 3 different versions out there. There's the NES version, the Super Nintendo Mario All-Stars version, and then the remake for the Game Boy Advance. It's available on the Virtual Console, on the Wii and the Wii U. It's also available on the DS Virtual Console. So it's out there. It's available. Go play it.
Okay.
What's your number 2?
I'll check. So, I'm a huge sucker for those Lego games.
Really?
Yeah, I really like the Lego games. and you know what, though? Like, legitimately, there are a lot of Lego games, like the Lego's Avengers, the Indiana Jones, the Star Wars, the Batman. Those are all very good Lego games, but one particular that's really bad was was the Hobbit one was really bad.
No.
Yeah, the Hobbit. But I loved it. I loved it, because there was... It was just the reason why the game was not very successful
mm-hmm.
was the Lego, I guess the characters were very limited to a certain amount of speech. Like, you know what I mean? They only had a few lines
right.
that they got the actors to do.
When did the game come out? Do you remember? Like, what console was it for?
Let me see here. It was actually...
I'm trying to remember. I never played that one. I played... the Mario game, I played a couple of the old Star Wars ones when those first came out back in the day. But I never really got into them. I love actual Lego, but I never got into the video games.
Yeah, the video games were actually, they're a lot of fun, man. Like, I really loved it. So, this was The Hobbit. So this would have been PlayStation 3.
Okay.
Yeah, and Xbox 360. So, there's just the voice actors were very limited on the lines on that game, so they didn't have much personality, and they only said the same like 4 or 5 lines throughout the entire game. Okay. And basically they just kind of like took the lines from the movie
mm-hmm.
and just worked them in random places in the game. Like you've played some Lego games, right?
Yeah.
So you remember, like, there's like basically, the movie is playing,
mm-hmm.
and the Lego is reenacting what's happening in the movie. But it's like sound from the movie, and the voice from the movie.
Yeah.
So they did that very terribly in this movie, in this game.
So why did you like it?
I like it? I liked it because there were fun little dumb missions where you can explore. What's his name? What's the dragon's name? Smaug. Yeah, you can explore Smaug's castle or his dungeon or whatever.
Well, it's the dwarves.
Yeah, and you could walk around, and I was like doing this. So there's that scene where he's stuck, where the spiders are coming, and he's kind of they're all in the webs.
Yeah,
and they're all stuck. So you can like jump on the spider webs and the little cocoons and knock people and things.
Yeah, you
out.
Would like that. I don't like spiders.
I don't know. It's very much the aesthetic of all of the other Lego games. I guess I'm just a sucker for that game particularly because I'm a big Lord of the Rings. I like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And they had other Lord of the Rings ones, but that one's the only one that I actually picked up.
Okay.
And I've played the other, like the, you know, the superheroes and the Avengers. Very good. But this one, it did not do well. It just did not rate very well.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I can see why. It's not like, it didn't deserve those ratings, but it was just bad.
Okay. Well, one of the other ones that came up from some of my coworkers was Power Star Golf. Did you ever play Power Star Golf?
I've never even heard of that.
It's one of those stand-up arcade golf games that you see sometimes at bars, like the really big ones.
Oh, no. Where you spin the ball?
Yeah,
the
like, yeah, exactly. There's all those leaderboards.
Isn't it the golden tee? A lot of
that's
them
a
are
different
golden.
One.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Which I thought was pretty funny. All right, so my number one. Now, if you've noticed, my first game was an N64 title. My second one was an original Nintendo title. This one splits the difference and is a Super Nintendo title, even though it was, yes, available for Sega Genesis, but I never played that version. And that is the official Aladdin video game.
That's a good game, though.
I think it's a great game.
I liked it a lot.
Maybe it's because I've played that game into the ground. I mean, I will sit and play that game all the time. I play it a couple of times a year. I will go through and beat that game. Whereas, you know...
What about that is... What do you like about the Aladdin game so much? Because it's very much like most of those Disney games, like the Lion King one.
Yeah.
At that time. They're pretty much the same.
There was a lot of similarities, don't get me wrong. But the mechanics and the animations were so smooth for a platformer back then that I just found the whole experience to be just simply enjoyable. And this is the best comparison I can give it. And I don't mean to overhype it. It's going to sound like that, but I don't mean to do it that way. The feelings that I get playing the Aladdin game.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously, the enjoyment I get out of that actually matches the enjoyment that I get out of Breath of the Wild.
No way.
The feeling. Obviously, Breath of the Wild is incredible and leaps and bounds more sophisticated, right? But the joy that I get of physically sitting there and playing the game is the same kind of joy that I got out of Aladdin. It's just a smooth, positive, you know, just happy, jovial experience is really what it is for me. And, you know, every couple of levels, you'd, you know, beat that stage and you'd have the code so you could get back there because the game didn't save, of course. And there were the rubies that you could try and collect.
That's very clever how they handled that.
Yeah, I like the codes. And I like that in Aladdin, it wasn't just a jumble of letters and numbers. It was the faces of the characters. You know, like Genie, Jafar, Aladdin, Abu is one of them, for example. You know, I love that I could sit through and I could play it. And it didn't take a super long time to beat it. I mean, it is an old platformer Disney game, so we're not talking about anything super deep.
Games weren't very big.
No, but I mean, they did expand on the movie. I mean, you spend several levels inside of the lamp. You're actually in Genie's lamp, and you're trying to escape the caverns, and they, you know, or you're, you know, being chased by lava, for example. That first one, that lava level where you're on the carpet and you're trying to outrun the lava flow, I died on that level more than any level on any game I've ever played. Ever. And it took me forever to finally get back. Because I was a kid at the time when that came out, you know. I was like 6 or 7 when that game came out. And so it just was a very frustrating time for me. And I finally got through it. And I love it. I love everything about
it. It's a good game, yeah. I personally think, like, see, most of the games, with the exception to the Mario Brothers one, I haven't played Mario Brothers 2. I played the third one, obviously, with Tanuki Mario. But, no... Everything you mentioned is like things that I think most people who've played will say, I like that game.
Yeah, but it's a guilty pleasure game though, because when someone says, hey, name your top 10 favorite video games, and when you get to Aladdin, you know you're going to smile and you're going to be a little bit embarrassed that you're putting that on your list or something like that, right? Because it's Aladdin, and I know that.
But it's good.
It is, but it's not like Metroid. Right, it's not Sonic the Hedgehog.
So that's your number one.
That's my number one. I love
Aladdin. he loves. It's unmatched.
It is unmatched. It was my favorite. It's my favorite original Disney movie. That's not like a Pixar film. It's my favorite Disney movie. And, you know, the first CD I ever had was the Aladdin soundtrack.
Yeah.
When I upgraded from cassettes. So, you know, I love that.
Aladdin it is.
Aladdin it is.
Well, I liked Lion King. I had Sega at the time. I only played it on Sega. And the Lion King, dude, that was the game. That was a very hard game, too.
Lion King was harder than
Aladdin.
Do
you remember that scene? Oh, way harder. Do you remember that part of the game where you are, you have to figure out which, there's a tree with monkeys. And you've got to figure out which monkey that, you got, like, basically you direct which one they throw you to.
Right.
And depending on which monkey you go to, pink or blue, you'd be either going to the other side or you'd be going down.
See, I kind of like that. It was very Donkey Kong Country.
So hard, though.
Because Donkey Kong Country is not a guilty pleasure game, but absolutely one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of those with the automatic barrels. And you had to hope that you jumped at the time that was right and things like
right.
that.
So. Or pick the right one because you got to like map out your plot. Like, oh, I'm going to jump to this pink one, to this blue one, to this pink one. But okay, so my number one.
Your number one.
This one, the other one's like... like the NBA Street games, I really, really liked. Like, I actually should have put that second because the Hobbit one is great. I like it, but I actually think NBA was. This is the one though for me. Like, I'm really excited because you ever heard of a game? This was Xbox, and then they re-released. They made a sequel to it and made a classic hits for it on Xbox 360.
Okay,
Fusion Frenzy.
Oh my god, I forgot about that game.
Fusion Frenzy, terrible game. All, but it was the best party game you could play.
I loved Fusion Frenzy.
It was the best.
Okay, so that's a game I have not thought about in quite some time.
Dude, we spent countless hours, day and night, playing Fusion Frenzy. It's the same, you know, you only get like, I don't know, 20, 15 different types of game modes.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
But we played, me, and when I say we, I'm talking about my brother and my sister and my cousin. We played this game so much that the disc wore out.
Oh, wow.
On our Xbox. The disc, I don't know what happened. I feel like it scratched itself.
Yeah, you probably used it too.
No. It stayed in there. It never left the Xbox.
I don't know. Maybe the laser was going bad.
So if you guys play, if you guys have ever heard of or play Fusion Frenzy, basically it's a game where... you play a bunch of mini games, and you all compete against each other directly. And by the end of the series, like you play like a series of 10 or 4 or something like that. And by the end of the series, it counts up all your points and all your wins, and you get to like knock everyone else off the platform and claim the throne kind of thing. But it was so much fun. Because you're playing like really random, crazy games. We're talking like there's one game where... you're running up a corkscrew, and there's little little boundaries
you
gotta
jump over.
And it gets faster and faster as you get higher in the corkscrew.
Man,
those games were hands down like if I think of the most fun I've ever had in a game that was party, like even more so than Mario Party, because Mario Party is kind of the same concept.
I thought Fusion Frenzy did it better,
way better, and that's what I was gonna say. More in my head. That was the best party game I could ever play. Was four people. You had a good. You're gonna have a fun time. Like
that's great. That's a great choice.
Did you ever play Fusion Frenzy 2
when they released it? I only played the original.
The original's good. Two, they had classic maps and classic games, and they added some stuff which didn't work out very well.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so you could just play on Xbox 360, you could just play the classic
hits. The old
stuff,
yeah.
That's so cool. That was the game, man.
Great game. Yeah, you know, a couple other small, like, honorable mentions come to mind. Also, for the original Xbox was Radio Jet Set Future.
I know the name, but I've never actually played the game.
So you play you're on rollerblades, and you play a spray paint tagger. And so your goal basically is to go around and tag with your spray paint certain objects or items on the map, you know, for points and things like that. And so, kind of a weird game, not mainstream by any stretch, but was really cool at the time because, you know, the Xbox was a big deal and it was all 3D, you know, all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Maybe the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Oh god, yeah. All of those type of games.
The music was so bad.
Well, all of those type of games, like Dave Mira's BMX, like I got Matt Hoffman had one too. Like those
Everybody,
were games
yeah.
that I played that were really bad. But the thing about the Dave Mirra one is they actually, he had a good soundtrack. He had Sublime. He had Nirvana. He had a lot of like mainstream bands in that time playing for that in that game in the background. You know, I've always been a sucker for those Duke Nukems.
Duke Nukem. I don't think Duke Nukem can be a guilty pleasure though. There's such a big fan base.
But it's I don't know. Like, I feel like it's pretty cheesy. It's pretty corny.
Yeah.
And the mechanics are not very good.
No.
But people love it.
Yeah.
It's one of those games. You're just like, I don't know why, but I really like it.
I think it's too popular to be a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Pokemon Go is more popular than that.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people are embarrassed that they play
it. It's true. No, that's totally the true. Difference.
I've never known anybody, or myself included, that was embarrassed to play Duke Nukem.
See, you know what? But like back to the Fusion Frenzy thing, you are one of the few people that when I say it, oh, dude, Fusion Frenzy, like they get excited.
Yeah, I love Fusion.
Nobody knows that game. Seriously, no one ever played it. So,
well, that's our list, guys. We want to know what your guilty pleasure games are. If it's video games, if it's even tabletop games works too.
See, I didn't even think about branching that far.
You know, we didn't go into that list. Maybe this is a video game podcast, but. I'm a big tabletop gamer, so if there's something out there that you really like as a tabletop game, you can mention that. Don't forget, we still have our contest going, guys.
We want to give you a game.
We're trying to give away a legit
giving it away
game. For free. A AAA title for the platform of your choosing, and we want to talk to you first. So here's what you got to do. Go to heroespodcast.com, click on the iTunes link, give us a review on iTunes. Give us your honest review. We'll give you a shout out on the show. When we reach 10 reviews, we're going to pick one of you guys at random, and you're going to win a free video game. What the game is will be a discussion with the winner, because we want to make sure it's something you want to play. We don't want to give you a game you already have
It'll
or
be good.
Interest
It'll
in
be a good game, too.
So it's going to be a good game, we promise. But you got to get those reviews in, because that's how people find us. You can find us at heroespodcast.com, at heroespodcast.com. On all the social medias, we've got two other shows, Screen Heroes every Wednesday, it's movies and TV, and Costume Couture every Monday, which is mainly cosplay and costuming in TV, movies, and video games. So check out all that stuff. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Next week, we actually have an interview lined up.
We do.
So we're excited about that. Who it's with? Well, you'll have to tune in to find out.
I like that.
All right, guys. All right, we'll catch you next time.
See ya.